You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Hi, everyone. I was thinking this last week that I haven't introduced myself for a while. I've been so excited about this series we've been doing in identity that I just sort of jump straight in and I don't stop and actually say who I am and welcome people. So particularly for those people that are joining us over the last few weeks since we've been going online. I just want to say my name is Rick Garvey. I'm one of the pastors here at Jubilee Church Farnham. And you're so welcome. I've been so encouraged to see the growing community that's joining to Jubilee Church in this season where we've been online. Also to all the regulars and members of Jubilee Church, just want to say it's been great catching up with you in the different Zoom prayer meeting rooms and the weekly midweek Bible study and our times on Sunday evenings where we've gathered together to worship. And I'm so grateful for the technology that in this time where we have been isolated from one another, we've been able to connect. We've been able to come together and check in with one another. We've been able to pray together. We've been able to worship together. And indeed, we've been able to hear God's word preached. And so I'm so grateful for this and for both of you, whether you're joining Jubilee Church and the sermon here for the first time today, or whether you've been with Jubilee Church for years, you're all very, very welcome, and I'm so glad that you've joined me today. And this week, we actually come to the end of our series on identity. This is part four, and today I've entitled the message, "What Glasses Are You Looking Through?" And perhaps you wear glasses or maybe you don't. And actually, that's not really my point. The point is that in one respect, we all look at life and see and understand life from a certain standpoint, from a certain perspective. And so that in that respect, we all do wear a certain kind of and a pair of glasses. Take these glasses, for example. They represent many things. They represent, perhaps most acutely for me, the passing of time and my increasing age. I need these glasses in a way that I never used to a few years ago. And if I take them off now, who knows what I am going to read to you today? It almost certainly will not be a word-for-word reading from the Bible because, well, I cannot see the words accurately without them. But with them on, my goodness, that's a different story. Not only do the words come into a sharp focus, but if I look from different angles, so if I look through the bottom of my lenses, then the smaller words and the words where I'm reading closer come into greater focus. If I look through the middle of the lenses, then my distance further away comes into sharper focus. And so we can see that there is an impact, and sometimes, perhaps most times, that impact is significant in terms of the glasses we wear and how we interpret and understand and engage with the world around us. And that's why today I want to make sure as much as possible that all of us are wearing the right glasses. And that's why in many ways we've spent these last 3 weeks looking at really, the type of glasses we've been wearing. And for some of us, it might have been the first time you've realized that you have been wearing a pair of glasses and that the way and the glasses that you wear helps to focus, color, shape, and bring into clear view the world around us. And so let me begin with what I think is a common pair of glasses that many people wear. And actually, if you've been around church for a while, if you've grown up in the church, or perhaps you've been in the church for a long time, you know your way around church. You might be at greater risk of wearing or finding out that you're wearing these kind of glasses than another set of glasses. And the glasses or the lenses that I'm talking about are a pair of moral glasses. And I think many Christians, many of us, you and me, to a greater or lesser degree, can fall into a habit of approaching God and the Bible from a moral standpoint. And what I mean by that is that we fall into a trap of thinking, believing, and living life almost as if there's two lists. There is a list over here of the things that I must do, and then there's a list of things over here that I'm not allowed to do. And if I do all the things on this list, well, then I'm in pretty good shape. But if I'm doing too many things on this list, not so much. And we can slip into a way of seeing and interpreting and engaging with God, the Bible, the kingdom, and our lives basically from two lists. And you see, when we begin to look at God, look at Jesus, look at the Holy Spirit morally, when we begin to look at the Bible morally, then we can miss the point. Let me be clear. There absolutely is a clear and revealed moral vision from God in the Bible. It's a gift and a blessing to His people. However, if you are approaching God and the Bible and your lives solely from the point of morality, you're going to be missing the point and missing the bigger picture. See, what we need to do is take off these glasses. If we find ourselves wearing a pair of moral glasses, we need to take them off and put on a different pair. We need to put on some glasses that help us see and understand and engage with life from the big picture. And so having a new set of glasses can be so important. But these new set of glasses, they aren't actually new. They've got a special pair of lenses in them, but those lenses aren't new. In fact, they've been around from before time, before the world began. But when you wear them, man, it's like you wearing for the first time. It's like you're seeing for the first time. It's like you're living life for the very first time. And these new glasses with these special lenses that I'm talking about, they're called, as opposed from a moral set of glasses, they're called a redemptive set of glasses. And I heard a preacher preach on this over a year ago, and it's just got inside of me. It's got into my bones, and it's been swirling around me, and it's just been building, and it's so good. I just wanted to bring it to all of us today, because the redemptive story of God is the ultimate story of reality. It starts with the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, and He makes everything out of nothing. Amazing. Makes everything out of nothing. And then sin enters the world through humankind's choice to believe a lie rather than the truth of God. And that perfect world that we had, that perfect relationship we had with God, that walking in the cool of the day with God is shattered and broken. But in the wonder of wonders, in the midst of that brokenness, we see that that same God who is perfect and holy and loving and good, we see Him walking towards us and walking towards the mess. I mean, have you ever stopped and reflected and thought about that? God, who is perfect and holy and loving and just and good and kind and a whole lot more, sees the choice that you made, sees the choice that I made, that choice against God and for a lie. And He sees sin enter and the havoc that's come from that choice. And yet, when we look up from the mud that we now find ourselves in, when we look up, we see that same God coming towards us. And this theme, we see it over and over and over again in the Bible. I mean, last week we looked at the story of the prodigal son, where we saw the father, in an expression of scandalous love, run towards the returning wayward son. We see it in the story where Jesus went to walk on the water to be with the disciples and calm the storm. We see it over and over again. We see the Lord God Almighty moving towards us at the time of our greatest sin and our greatest storm. And just think about that. How many of us, you and me, would have just bailed and we wouldn't have run towards, we would have been out the other way. It would have been like, man, I've just created these people. It was perfect. It was wonderful. Ah, look what they've gone and done. That's it. I'm out. I can certainly hear myself saying that. Yet God isn't like that. Thank goodness. No, he says that the rescue plan was hatched even before the world began. I mean, think of that. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 20, Peter talks about Jesus as the sacrificial lamb who was known before the foundation of the world. God had the plan that Jesus would come and be our sacrifice and rescue and redeem us. See, God moves towards us in sending Jesus, the eternal Son of God, to save us. Jesus came to reconcile the world to God, and he does this through Jesus and his amazing grace. God does this because he is love, and not because of who you are or because of your performance. You see, when we have the redemptive glasses on, when we're wearing the right glasses, you see a holy, loving Creator God who gave everything in Jesus to get you and me back. You see the Lord of the universe giving what is most valued, most precious, and most intimate to him so that you and I could be rescued and redeemed. What a difference this makes, looking through the right glasses. When you see God through moral lenses, you can fall into a way of understanding God that goes like this. I need to do everything on this list, on the to-do list. And if I don't, and if I find myself doing all of these things on the not-to-do list, then God is going to be angry with me and view me in a way that's lesser compared to when I do all the things on the to-do list. And I want to be absolutely clear with you today. That view of things is simply not true. It's not biblical and it's not true. Let that sink in. The preacher that I listened to said it this way. He said, there is a moral vision in the Bible and it's not to be skirted around or left to the side. It's just that it's not the main point. The danger we get into if you are approaching God, the Bible, and the world we live in with moral glasses on is that you're more than likely headed for a half-hearted existence where you're forever running around the same cul-de-sac and you can't actually remember how you got there and you can't find a way out. It's just this endless circle of trying to do the good things, trying to avoid the bad things and going round and around and around. And the preacher I was listening to, he described it like this. He said, you cannot do life for Jesus without doing life with Jesus. In essence, what this means is that you and I do not have a hope of living out the moral vision that is so clearly articulated in the Bible without living life with Jesus. Without him, it's just us. And well, that's not very much. You see, the Christian faith is not a moral vision only. It's not even primarily a moral vision. It's something deeper, something more central, something more relational. You cannot be a Christian without Christ, and you cannot live a Christian life without being with Christ. It's not a moral vision, it's a redemptive vision. We are invited by God into the big story, the big history, the story of reality. And it's a great big story by a great big God, and it's wonderful. And if you're finding your Christian life to be draining you, if you connected with that picture of this kind of half-hearted existence where you're running around this cul-de-sac and it feels like you're going around and around endlessly, trying to do this and trying to avoid that and really not doing a great job at it anyway, If you're feeling like that, like the life is just draining out of you, rather than being refreshed and fulfilled, then maybe one of the reasons is because you're still wearing the moral glasses. You're majoring on the things that the Bible doesn't put in the top spot. In essence, you are still living out of the old identity, living out of your performance, living out of your obedience, your determination, and even your zeal for God. But it's missing the big picture, and it could be missing the main point. And if we don't get this, if we continue to wear the moral glasses, then the idea of spending time with Jesus, with being in his presence, which I'm going to speak about in a couple of weeks' time, it won't be easy for you. It won't be easy because you're focusing on the lists and your performance, and you're giving yourself a grade. And based on that grade, on your performance, you're probably not really feeling like you want to go and be in God's presence and spend time with Jesus. It's kind of like the kids here in the UK who have been, who were at GCSE level. You see, because of the virus, the end of secondary school exams have been cancelled. And so all of those pupils are going to be, or most of them, are going to be entered into what's being called here in the UK a predicted grade process. And what that means is that their teachers are going to be gathering all of the evidence that they have, their mock exams and all of their coursework, and also then putting together the teacher's understanding and a perspective on each individual child. And then they're going to give them a predicted grade, and that's what they'll be used for their GCSE grades. Now, some kids might be upset that their predicted grades are not accurate or may not have been what they were if they actually wrote the exams. And that can have big consequences for the children, can't it, in terms of further education and college and what they might do after school. Some may argue, well, I didn't have all the knowledge and I hadn't done all the revision at the time of my mock exams compared to when my actual exams would have been. And so, of course, those results that you've got on me are not going to be as strong as what I would have done if I'd taken my exams. And if we're wearing those moral glasses I've been talking about, we can sort of get into a similar way of thinking about life. If we're constantly thinking, well, I wasn't ready enough, I didn't do enough, I didn't perform well enough, and the predicted grade we give ourselves when it comes to being in God's presence and how we're shaping up, it'll always be a failing grade. And because of this, we don't want to go home, as it were, to the intimacy of Jesus, the intimacy of being with the Father, to the place of presence with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because our self-given predicted grade is a fail. See, we have this self-talk going around our heads that God the Father is constantly mad at me, and the majority of the time he's just disappointed in me because I'm not doing very well with these lists. But how different, though, when you're wearing redemptive glasses. When you are, you see that as far as this life is concerned, there's someone else that's taken the test for you. And he scored 100%. You got the highest score of 9 possible because the perfect one sat your test and got the perfect result. See, you and I would have failed. We do fail. But in Jesus, we receive the perfect result. It has nothing to do with your effort, your study, your determination, your performance. It has to do with someone else taking your exam. And not only taking your exam, but the result they got knocks it out of the park on your behalf. It has to do with God the Father looking down at you, results in hand, and seeing the Son and you hidden in the Son and loving you even as he loves the Son. It's utterly amazing. And I've probably pressed that analogy a little too far, but I hope you get my point. with a redemptive understanding of God, the Bible, Jesus, and the kingdom, you will approach the Christian life utterly differently. And if you've grown up in a time where the preaching of the season was heavily focused on morality, and in and of itself that's not wrong, it's just through the wrong glasses, then you might be sitting here today and a bit confused and a bit messed up, wondering what I've been preaching about. But I would say to you that God does absolutely care about how we live our lives. It's just perhaps that you have been trying to get there through your own performance and your own determination. And the trouble with that is that we are generally bad, really bad, at being good. We want to be good and we have a desire to be good and we try to be good. But in and of ourselves, if we're left to our own, wearing our moral lenses, then we end up falling short of that moral vision that God has put in the Bible. How many times have you sworn never again, only to realize that next week you have again and again and again? And what I'm really talking about here is the grace of God and our response to it in the saving sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter put it this way in his letter in 1 Peter in chapter 1 and verses 3 to 5. Let me read it to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. If you are a believer in Jesus today, the Word of God says that God caused you to be born again. This never was and never is about your performance. You have received a living hope because Jesus was raised from the dead. He is alive and he has therefore secured eternal life for you and me. You have also received an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will never fade. That is because it is Jesus who won the inheritance for you, and it's based only on him and his performance. Finally, you are being protected by God through faith until the last days where that salvation will be fully revealed. How wonderful is that? You know, I went to a conference last year where Professor Don Carson was speaking on identity, and he summarized it with a pithy sentence. He said, "Live in the right place, wear the right clothes, and sing the right songs. Live in the right place. You're a citizen of heaven. Wear the right clothes. Take off your old identity and put on your new, especially wearing the right glasses. And sing the right songs. Worship him with a thankful and loving heart. Out of living life with Jesus, we will live a life for Jesus. It can never be any other way. Bless you and have a great week."